to give you some truths that God's laid on my heart. You can turn back to Exodus 33, and I had a message prepared out of Hebrews 7, but I'm just 100% sure that God wants me to share a couple of these things with you tonight before we dismiss. I want you to see where I feel like God has taken us in this. And so what I'll do is I'll ask you to, as you get to Exodus 33, I'll ask you to look in verse number 21 of Exodus 33. I don't think that I'll have to spend any time convincing you that the Christian experience is different for different people. And what I mean, I'm not talking about getting saved. Everybody gets saved same way. Amen. There's only one way to get saved. I didn't say getting saved is different. I said the Christian experience is different for different people. Now, here is Moses, and Moses is asked a very bold thing. He asked God some questions. And that's not always a bad thing, to ask God questions. Questions can be very helpful. They can lead into conversation and get us into a dialogue to where we can begin to learn some things about the people we question. And so Moses has asked God some questions. He's made some requests. He's asking God to know more about him. And God, in essence, told Moses, he said, well, Moses, you know, what you've asked is a different request here. This is different. You know, most people ask me to do things for them. But that's not what you necessarily have asked. You've asked me to show me your glory, or to show, you know, really what he's saying there is to show me the essence of who I am. And he said, so I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to let you see a little bit of that. And I want you to notice, and this is where we're working to, all right, this is where we're working to. How can we get to this place? Now, I'm not saying that there's a second heaven of grace. Don't misunderstand me. But now, there is a place. And I want you to notice the wording in verse number 21. God told Moses, and the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. All right? Now, he didn't say there's places by me. He said, there is a place by me. See, now, that's where I want to be. I want to be in that place. How about you? God said, there is a place by me. All right? There's a place by God, brethren, that many Christians live their whole life and never get to experience. The old-timers knew something about that place. You talk to enough old-timers, and that's why I encourage young people, get around some of the older folks. Get around some of the older folks. Say, well, preacher, you know, they can't teach me nothing. Yeah, I know. Yeah, young folks know so much, you know. I'm not being mean to you. I'm just saying this. Learn as a young man. Learn as a young lady what it is to glean wisdom and experience from people who've been where you want to be, or maybe even where you're going. It's a good thing. So here's what God told Moses. He said, there's a place by me. You know anything about that place? There's a place by God, brethren. So, well, you know, that's for every Christian. No. No, it's not. Moses experienced something here none of the rest of the children of Israel got to experience. You understand that, right? But he asked for it. Right? He asked for it. He said, this is what I want. And so this kind of culminated. It led to this, and we're going to build to this. You say, you know, well, preacher, can I find that place? Well, in one way, we already have, because if you'll notice, and again, I'm taking us here, but we're not going to get there tonight. He said in verse 21, there's a place by me, thou shalt stand upon a rock. And he said in verse 22, and it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. See, in one way, if you're saved in this age of grace, you have experienced the glory of God, because Jesus, he shows us, the only begotten of the Father, he hath declared him unto us. And he is the glory. He is the glory of God. Yes, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That word dwelt is tabernacled. All right? That's where the glory of God and the Shekinah glory cloud, that's where it settled on the mercy seat in the tabernacle. That's what that word is. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt. It tabernacled. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld what? His glory. What is that glory? The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So now if you're saved, you have access to this glory. I want you to understand that. You have access to this. And so he's telling Moses here, he said, now there's a place by me. And you don't want to live your life and miss this place. All right? He said, well, I'm saved and I'm going to heaven and I'm glad. All right? I'm glad. I'm thankful. I love to see people get saved. I've spent now over half of my life trying to encourage people and compel people to get saved. So I love to see people get saved. But now, that's not where it ends. That's where it begins. That's the beginning of a journey. And God says, listen, once you get saved, don't think, well, hey, done. We're going to close up shop with this God thing. No, that's where it begins. And then there's a journey, and God says, in this journey, I want you to know there's a place by me. And brethren, I'm telling you, there's a place by God. And some people live their entire Christian life, and they miss it. I don't want to see you miss it. I've been in this place, all right? And you say, well, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about there's a place by God that God wants all of his children to be in. Now, certainly we are with Christ. We are hid with Christ in God. Certainly. So I'm not saying that once you get saved that's not enough. It's enough to get you to heaven. But God has so much more. Our sins are forgiven. We're going to heaven. But what about the journey? What about the journey? God wants us to experience some things and even... I don't even want to say that. It's not really experience some things. God wants us to experience him in the journey. Him. And so I want you to understand that there's a place by God. And here's what happens in that place. Watch what the scripture says. Verse 22. It came to pass while my glory passeth by, or it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock and will cover thee with my hand. I told you that that's where that song, He Hideth My Soul, it's taken from this passage of Scripture, and covereth me there with His hand. You read the words to that song sometime. All right, the songwriter had this passage of Scripture in mind. And he said this, and he said, I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. So God showed Moses a glimpse of his glory. All right? It so impacted Moses' life that he had to start wearing a veil. All right? And that veil, it scared the children of Israel. I mean, he had to veil himself when he went and began to minister to them again. In other words, people took note that he had been with God. And when you and I get in this place, people will take note that we've been with Jesus, because he is the glory of God. And when we want to impact people's lives, and I believe you do. Listen, most of the people that attend Fellowship Baptist Church, I mean a high percentage of people, are faithful. Good people that just want to do what's right. Not stubborn and rebellious and somebody saying, well, you don't know me well. Well, listen, let me compliment you. Amen. Well, And what I'm telling you, you know. Listen, there's churches that fight every week. You understand this. They fight and they bicker and they backs stab and they gossip and they slander and they tear each other down. Every week, you could be a part of a church like that. You better praise God that you're not. I praise God that I'm not. I tell people all the time, I do. When I'm inviting people to church, I first of all invite them to Jesus. And then I invite them to church. I let them know, Fellowship Baptist Church is the greatest church I've ever been a part of. And it's not because I'm the pastor. I'm the pastor because it's the greatest church I've ever been a part of. I'm not leaving until God tells me to. I love this church. I love the people. I love your faith. I love your faithfulness. And so I want to help you. There's a place by God. Don't miss it. Don't get so caught up in life. Don't get so caught up in this life, in this world, that you miss this place in God. You don't want to miss it. You say, well, God wouldn't do that for me, preacher. Well, have you asked him? I wonder if Moses even knew God would do it for him before he asked him. So what led up to this? You've seen this, right? God passed by, and he proclaimed some things to them. Hey, listen, God, when you look down in verse number 5 of chapter 34, you see some things when God passed by. God showed Moses some things about himself. I mean, it forever changed Moses. Moses learned some things about the person of God in this experience. But now, what led up to this? Let me give you a couple things, and then we'll close as far as I know. All right? So turn back to chapter 33, and let's see, what is this, where is this going? So here's Moses. He's being called of God, and God's kind of trained him, and he put some people, we were talking about this in our Sunday school meeting, which, by the way, Brother Greg, was good stuff, about how that God puts people in the pathway of your life, and it influences you, or he puts you in the pathway of another's life, and you get to influence them. And so we see how God just used all of these things. I thought about when Pastor Brandon mentioned Romans 8:28. Moses probably in his mind, there was probably a time that he would have never thought in a lifetime that he would have been leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. And yet God prepared him. He was schooled there. He probably thought he was going to spend the rest of his life there. But God so ordained the steps of his life where it sent him away on the backside of the desert in Midian. And there he met a man by the name of Jethro. Imagine meeting a man by the name of Jethro and him so impacting your life. What a great asset this man was to him. He impacted Moses' life and he taught him some great life lessons. And he was a great aid and a great help to him. And God began to build some people around Moses. Aaron, Joshua, and Ur. And he began to build something there with him. And he said, Moses, I want to use you, and I'm going to use you. And he did. And we know how God just showed himself real to Moses. We come up to this, what we were talking about this morning. Moses said, God, I don't want you to kill these people. I don't want you to destroy them. I just believe that you can do something in their life. See, I'm prone to give up on people. I don't like to give up on people. I don't. I just don't like to give up on people. Because I'm constantly reminded God never gave up on me. Man. And I can't walk away from people. It's hard for me. And I admit that. It's hard for me to walk away from people. Even when they pretty much tell you, look, I want you to stay away from me. Go away. Go away. It's still hard because I know what I've got to offer you from God is what you need. It's what you need. So here was Moses. He was in this position, and we've seen this morning how he interceded for them. And then he said, well, I'll make atonement for you. And God said, no, you can't do that. That's reserved for one. And Jesus makes the atonement, right? And so then the scripture says that Moses, he told them, he said, listen, God is going to give you what he promised you, but he's not going to go with you. Now here's a place in all of our lives, and this is kind of where we ended this morning. And I want to take you to the next step, because when we left this morning, we've seen where the people made a choice. They made a decision. Their decision was, we want God and not just what God offers. great day in your life, great day in my life, when we can get to this place in our hearts. And that's real, brethren. God would allow us to go through life and just have the promises. We talked about the promises. I thank God for the promises. And there's many promises, and many of those promises, and I want you to hear me now, they're unconditional. God's going to fulfill them in our lives. They are unconditional promises. God has promised them, and He's going to deliver. He's going to deliver because they're unconditional promises. And God always keeps His word. Always. But Moses said, I want more. And the children of Israel said, we're with you on this one, Moses. Boy, that was different, wasn't it? I mean, usually the children of Israel were just, whatever Moses said, they were choosing the opposite. Whatever Moses wanted, they wanted the opposite. Nothing was ever good enough for them. But when Moses came back down from the mount in chapter 33, and he said, in verse number 3, he said, God's going to give you that land flowing milk and honey, but God's not going to go up with you. The Bible says in verse number 4, when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on him his ornaments. That's striking to me. I mean, I don't know how many people they were. So, as I said this morning, some say, you know, a million two, 1.5 million, maybe upward toward 2 million. Some even say as many as 2.5 million people came out of Egypt by this time. And no man, listen, that's a lot of people to come together and say, you know what? This bothers us. This bothers us that God is not going to go up with us. See, God will challenge our hearts this way, brethren. He will. Do you want just what I have to offer, or are you interested in me? You know, there's people that will use you just for what you have to offer. I've said it, and I've lived it. I've experienced it, and perhaps you have. If you've lived long enough, you probably have too. There was a day when I can remember when people, they love people and use things, but now people use people and love things. It's just changed, hasn't it? It has. People will use you just as what they can get out of you. And it hurts. But we can't allow that to stop us from ministering to people. And Moses, when he got to this place, the people mourned and no man did put on their ornament. And Moses told them, look at verse 5. He said, you know, he keeps telling them, God said you're stiff-necked. This is a problem you're going to have to deal with. You know, it's amazing how this keeps coming up. It really is. When God said, I'll heal your land, if my people, which are called by my name, most people just jump and say, boy, we need to pray. You know, we need to pray, and we do need to pray. But God said, there's something you need to do before you pray. Well, we need to turn from our sin, preacher. We do need to turn from our sin. But God said, there's something you need to do before you turn from your sin. You need to humble yourself. Oh, I don't need to humble myself, preacher. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I tell you, we're a stiff-necked bunch. We're an unbending. We are. We're proud people. I'm afraid if America doesn't humble herself, God's going to humble her. Now, God will give us an opportunity to humble ourselves. And if we don't, then God will humble us. So he said, if I go up within in your midst now, he said, I'm going to consume you because you're stiff-necked. You're proud. And the people of Israel, they mourned. Now, here's the first step. Don't see a whole lot of mourning. I think I've been in 2, maybe 3 services in my entire Christian life. We've been saved, as I said, next month, the 26th of October, 40 years, where people were truly mourning. Mourning. All right? Mourning is something that's lost among folks today. You know, they used to have what they called mourner's benches in churches. How many of you remember the mourner's benches? Just a few people. Right? See, we're rearing up a generation of folks who know very little about some of these things. And we need to really pass some things on to the next generation. Mourners. Mourners. Wailing. You ever heard wailing? We read about it in the Bible. I've been in two services in my life where people were wailing. They were so broken. They were wailing. See, that's what gets God's attention. It's contrition, right? A broken and a contrite heart. This is where the children of Israel were. Why? Because they said, we don't want to go on without you, God. Hey, we can go on without God. You realize that, right? I believe this with all of my heart. We have two assistant pastors here. Pastor David is not here. These men, they could preach with or without God. They're just preachers. They're just preachers. We have some good teachers in this church. Can teach with or without God. Just good teachers. But as we heard again in our Sunday school meeting, it's good to get God on something. It's really the only thing that's going to leave a lasting impact. Right? It's going to have a spiritual impact. So what's the next step? They mourned. And then they began to do something. All right? They didn't just mourn. They began to do something. And the scripture says in verse number 6 that they stripped themselves of their ornaments. And this is where we left off this morning. They said, you know what? Getting rid of some stuff. I need to get rid of some things in my life. God's been dealing with me, and I've gotten rid of it. You know, the problem with me sometimes, I'll get rid of something, then I'll take it back. I know you don't do that, but I'm just telling you that to encourage you. Just in case that were to happen to you. What about you? You need to get rid of something? Need to strip yourself of something? Has God laid on your heart this morning and you tried maybe to get it off your mind and say, well, you know, it's okay. Now, this is where the stiff neck comes in. Listen to me carefully now. It's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. Well, if God said there was something wrong with it, it doesn't matter. 50 preachers tell you there's nothing wrong with it. It's wrong. If God said it's wrong, it doesn't matter if 10 other people do it. If God told you it's wrong for you, it's wrong for you. Amen. The Bible warns against comparing ourselves with other people. That's not wise. Well, so-and-so does it. Well, now you're not going to answer for so-and-so at the judgment seat. So I'm just challenging that. You want to get that place in God? You want to get there? Hey, there's a price to pay to get in that place by God. You understand that? There is a price to pay for me to go to heaven. Jesus paid it. But now if I'm going to get in that place by God, I've got to pay a price for something. I've got to crucify myself. I've got to take up my cross. Amen. So, well, I want that place, preacher. I want that place. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? Well, I'm sorry, and I'm mourning, and I'm upset about some things. Well, that's a good start, but that's not where it ends. And then the scripture says that they stripped themselves. They realized that there were some things that they had brought with them out of Egypt, some carryover, if you will. And they realized, this is not good for us. By the way, these are the very things that they built their God with. These are the very things that they handed to Aaron, and he just mysteriously threw it in the fire, and a calf came out. These are the very things. And God said, now listen, I'm not going to make you do this, but there's a place by me. And if you want to occupy it, you've got to do this of your own volition. You have a choice to make. I have a choice to make. I'm not interested. Well, then, okay. But I think there's a few people in here that might be. You interested? Only you know in your heart if you are. There's a place by God. And it costs something. It does. mourning, stripping, searching. Let's close with that one. See, some folks say, well, you know, I went to the altar and I confessed my sin. I said I wasn't going to do that anymore, and I stripped myself. Now I'm waiting for God to put me in that place. Well, there's a few more steps between right here and over in the latter part of the chapter. There's a few more steps of the process that have to be taken. Sometimes we think, we'll come down to the altar, I confess my sin, and bingo, booms, right? No. Notice now what happens. The Bible says in verse number 7, Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. Moses said, we're going to find out who means business with God right now. Right? Now, this is not talking about the tabernacle that Moses got the blueprint for. This was a temporary setup until that tabernacle was erected. But he said, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to give people an opportunity to search for God. Let's see what happened, and then we'll close our message tonight. Take it home with you and let God just really burn it in your soul. Verse number 7 says that he pitched it outside the camp, and it came to pass in the middle of that verse that everyone, and I have this highlighted, which sought the Lord went out into the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. Now, not everyone went out. Not everyone wants to be in that place. All right, not everyone wants God to go with them on the journey. You understand that? Not everyone wants God to be a part of their journey. A lot of people just say, well, God, just keep me happy and keep me provided for. And God, you just keep sending the blessing. You just keep your promises, and I'm okay with that. But not everyone, now they mourned. Everyone mourned. The Bible says, and no man did put on his ornament. But now to go the extra mile now, I don't know about that. You mean I've got to go outside the camp? I've got to go outside the camp to get hold of God now? I've got to do more than my Sunday morning ritual or my Sunday evening ritual. I've got to do more than that. I've got to meet God in the secret place. I've got to seek after God. I've got to get up early and go after God and say, God, I don't want to do this without you. I've got to do all that to get to where God wants me to be. Sometimes, yeah. 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 So here's what he said. It says, it came to pass, verse number 7, that everyone which sought the Lord now went out of the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass, when Moses went out into the tabernacle, that all the people rose up. Now, this is when it gets good. What's happening here? Well, God is building in the people's heart a spirit of expectancy. When's the last time that we've seen a real spirit of expectancy? God's getting ready to do something. Amen. Do you see what is happening here? Do you see what God is doing in the hearts of these people? He's building something in their soul. He's building something in their heart. He said, I see what you're doing. I see your mourning. I see that you've stripped yourselves of the ornaments. I've seen that you went out, that some of you cared enough to go out to the outside the camp to the tabernacle. And now God has put something in the hearts of the people that when Moses went out there, there was something in their heart, an expectancy. What is God going to do now? Wouldn't it be great if we could get back to coming to church that way? Wouldn't it? You say, well, preacher, not everything that I want to see happen in the church service this morning or last week. Well, you know the old saying, you get what you pay for. In church, you get what you pray for. What are you praying for to happen? What did you pray to happen in tonight's church service? What are we praying to happen? What are we expecting God to do? By faith, what are we asking God to do in our lives, in the lives of our family, in the lives of our community, in this church? What are we asking God to do? Well, preacher, the church is about full. Listen, we need to fill this thing up 5, 10, 20 more times. There are lost people all around us dying and going to hell. There are people that need what we have to offer. And the scripture says here in verse number 8, came to pass when Moses went out of the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door. Look at it now. And looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. What's going to happen now? The spirit of expectancy. Well, I tell you, nothing will set a church on fire like the spirit of expectancy. What is God going to do? We're expecting God to do something. We don't know what, but we know God is going to do something. And so they stood up at their tent door, right? And they were looking because they were expecting God to do something. And you know what? He did. Moses went in. And the Bible says in verse number 9, it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. Verse number 10, and all the people saw the cloudy pillar at the tabernacle, at the tabernacle door. And watch this, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. Man, what a moving experience we have here. The people are expecting God to do something, and God is moving among the people, and they're worshiping. Who's worshiping? Everyone that sought the Lord? No, all the people. I'm glad that when a few people get a hold of God, it spills over and it affects others. You go back and you look at verse number 7, and it says, and everyone that sought the Lord went out. But when you look at verse number 10, all the people are worshiping, every man at his tent door. You see, not everyone went and prayed, but because they did, everyone benefited from that. And God showed up on the scene. God wants to do that again. God will do it again. He will. But now, there's some steps that need to be taken. There are. I've said it before, and I just believe. Now, we're going to end right there. These people were expecting something. Can I encourage you to begin to pray and say, God, build up in me a spirit of expectancy. And God has to do it now. It can't be something you fake or put on. God has to do that. But now it comes when you seek the Lord. Everyone that seeks the Lord, God will build the spirit of expectancy. He will. And God will begin to do something. It may be that person you've been praying for a month, a year, 10 years, 20 years, comes walking in the back door of the church, and you say, wow, that's great stuff. And they may even walk right on down to the front and kneel down here and get saved. Never know. Amen? Listen, I haven't seen some things that others have seen, but I've seen God move. I know what it is to be in the presence of God and have God move. I'm here to tell you, and most of you know this. If you don't, then I pray that you'll see this before you die. The God of heaven can bring people off 29 down this road into this church parking lot, into this building, and them just say, I don't know. I don't know why I'm here. I can't put it into words. This brother was saying it. Brother Brian tonight in his testimony, I can't put it into words. I'm just amazed at what God's done. You believe that? Amen. You believe that God can direct people right down to a place that's going to be faithful and preach the gospel, preach the word of God, people that are going to love them. Come in here, listen, maybe have liquor on their breath. Maybe just got through smoking a rock. Tattoo laden, pierced up, I don't know. Maybe making money through prostitution, I don't know. But when a people will love a people, and when a people will say, you know what, there's a God in heaven who loves you. We're not going to put you through some 12-step program for you to clean up and then try to get you to Jesus. We're going to get you to Jesus because He will accept you just as you are. And when you get to Jesus, you will not leave the way you went. See, God can do that. God can do that. Man can't do that. Man can get up before groups of people and talk about planting a seed and sending me some seed money. That man can do that stuff. But I'm going to tell you what God can do. God can save to the uttermost. God can. God can turn people into a place, and God can bring people in that we had no idea of what was going on in their life. God will put you in contact with people that you had no idea that God was working in their life. And he'll tell you, hey, I want you to go right over there, and I want you to tell that person about me. And you'll say, I don't know that person. God's not interested that you know them. God's been working in their heart, and he's been getting you ready to go tell them. You go tell them. Let's stand. Say, preacher, can that happen? It happens all the time. The question is, are we going to get involved in it? Are we going to get involved in it? I hope that you do. Oh, listen, God has a place by him. Now, the children of Israel didn't get in that place, but they sure did get a lot further than they were. We're talking about a whole group of people worshiping at their tent door. These people murmured and complained most of their life. And God did a work in their heart. Can I tell you, God can do a work in your heart. He can. Let's bow our heads together.